From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or download the Wildcaster app. That's free and available on the App Store and Google Play. On Monday, I was actually up in Phoenix covering Phoenix Suns Media Day. So Michael, Lev, and I, we did not record a podcast. However, Michael joined me on ESPN Tucson on the Sports Exchange. We talked all things that you need to know about the Arizona Wildcats and their upcoming Pac-12 home opener against the USC Trojans. So without further ado, let's start the podcast. Michael, before we get into some Arizona Wildcats talk, I know you're a big golf and Tiger Woods fan. What did you think about that yesterday?
Great moment for the sport of golf, great moment for sports in general. I made the comment to someone in the press box on Saturday. We're all kind of monitoring what Tiger was doing, just that he's the most talented golfer we've ever seen. You can dispute whether he or Jack Nicklaus is the greatest golfer of all time. Jack obviously has more majors, but to do what Tiger has done with all of the injuries that he's had, I mean, he basically won the U.S. Open on one leg, and he's had major, major back problems that put him in a really bad place, and to be able to come all the way back from that, and then not only play on the tour, but to win a tour event against, you know, the best guys that are out there, it was really something. And his walk up the 18th fairway with all the fans, like, following behind him, like thousands of people. I mean, if that doesn't give you goosebumps, then I don't know what would.
And, you know, I was looking back and thinking about all the times that Tiger Woods has won a tournament, and usually he's very happy, he's fist pumping. But yesterday, he got emotional. Was that the first time you've ever seen Tiger Woods get emotional?
I wouldn't say it's the first time. Like, I think if I recall, you know, when he won his first Masters, like, he hugged his dad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, coming off the 18th green. And that was, like, a huge, you know, emotional moment. He had a very strong connection with his father. But it was interesting watching the post-game interviews that he did, and then he was on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt later Sunday night, and he really struggled to put it into words. You know, you could tell that it meant something to him that maybe, you know, no other victory had. And, I mean, who could blame him for being emotional, you know? I mean, he probably thought at some point that his career was over. He's talked about how, you know, I just wanted to be able to, like, play with my kids again, you know, yeah, let alone being able to play golf at the very highest level. So, of course, it was emotional, and I hope, you know, that he's able to sustain this for a while, because golf is just a lot more fun when Tiger's playing and playing well. Mm.
Again, this is Michael Lev from the Arizona Daily Star joining the Sports Exchange. And, Michael, you were out there in Corvallis, Oregon this past weekend, the Arizona Wildcats. They posted a 35-14 win. What did you take away from that win? Again, it is Oregon State, one of the least talented teams in the Pac-12, but, I mean, from a confidence standpoint, Arizona looked pretty damn good.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, Oregon State isn't good. I mean, let's start with that. They just don't have the horses right now, or the experience, or a very good quarterback, or, you know, they're missing a lot. But, you know, all that being said, Arizona played, you know, its best all-around game of the season. The offensive line is really coming together. Leif Freck, bringing him back into the fold and moving some guys around, it's just made for an overall better unit. Their timing and targeting were better than I've seen all season. You know, you'd see plays with Leif Freck and Cody Creason pulling, you know, from the left side to the right, and just both of them just, you know, seeing their guys, hitting their guys, opening up holes. You saw double team blocks. And you also saw, you know, J.J. Taylor working better with the offensive line. He's got a different kind of style, you know. He likes to do a lot of cutbacks and spin moves and hesitations and so forth. And I thought you saw him make a really good adjustment to the running scheme and what he was seeing. Just showed a better feel for when to cut back. He was a more patient runner. And then when he'd see the hole, he'd really accelerate through it. And then on the defensive side, I just think they were just kind of flying around with a greater energy level than I've seen at any point this season. I mean, there were still some issues from time to time. I mean, that's going to happen. But on plays like when Oregon State would run a bubble screen, I just saw like a lot of guys running to the ball. I think having P.J. Johnson back helped a lot. And I also think that the emergence of Jalen Harris is pretty significant. Mm-hmm. We've talked about him a little bit before. I mean, he's someone who's got, like, NFL tools. You know, he probably needs to put on 25 or 30 pounds still to get to that point, but he's able to really bend around the edge. He's got long levers, and he was really disruptive during that one stretch. In the second half, and hopefully we'll see more of that moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And again, you know, the defense, they looked great, at times. But again, it is against Oregon State. And, you know, looking at your five takeaways from that game, I think the most interesting note that you have is they introduced the dime package where they would drop essentially six players. Can you talk about that?
Didn't we talk about that on the podcast last week? I think we did. I did anyway.
Yeah, you did. You brought it up.
We were talking about this idea that maybe they'd been holding something back, saving it for a Pac-12 play. Well, I mean, in the case of the dime package, it turned out to be true. They took out one of their defensive tackles, and they put Troy Young in as the sixth defensive back. And Troy Young, he's sort of positionless in a way, like, he started out as a safety, then they used him at linebacker, then they had him at corner. So maybe as kind of a 6DB slash rover who can cover or blitz, maybe that's a good role for him. They have one defensive tackle on the field, and then both of the studs remain on the field with Kylan Wilborn and Jalen Harris being those two guys. So it's really only kind of one change as far as taking one defensive lineman out and adding a defensive back. But it's a different wrinkle. They can do different things with it. I think the first time they just rushed three, but then in subsequent times they would blitz. They also did some zone blitzing in this game. I don't even know if it was zone blitzing or zone dropping, where it was P.J. Johnson or Derek Bowles dropping into a short zone. And I was happy to see that because, you know, Arizona just doesn't have the talent, size, or depth to just kind of line up and play the same basic defense and beat people. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to do some stuff to create some deception and confusion. And I think, you know, having all of these different possibilities for a quarterback to face kind of accomplishes that.
Is Khalil Tate a ticking time bomb in terms of that left ankle injury? Because, you know, you also included this in your five takeaways. Teams know that Khalil Tate is hurting right now, and it looked like the Oregon State defensive lineman, when they tackled him, he was kind of ripping his leg a little bit, trying to re-aggravate the left ankle injury. Is that a big concern for you, for Khalil Tate moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's a concern in the sense that he's just not quite 100%. You know, he doesn't look quite right every time he turns that ankle. You know, I mean, shortly after that happened, there was a play where he's kind of scrambling toward the left sideline and he stumbled and then kind of just fell out of bounds. And then on that same series, you know, he got the intentional grounding penalty because he just couldn't really move the way that he would like to. And I don't know when they're going to find time to rest that thing. You know, I mean, it would be great if Arizona had a bye this week or next and you could just say, Khalil, you know, get off that ankle for a week. You know, you're sitting out, you're not going to do any football activities, or you put him in a walking boot or something to that effect, but they don't have a bye until November. So they're just going to have to deal with it. He's still the best option that they have. I think it just limits the playbook a little bit, you know, and we saw him race around the edge on the very first play from scrimmage on his own read. That threat always exists, but, you know, if he's not able to do that, eventually defenses are going to figure it out. They're not going to devote as many resources to stopping the potential of a Khalil Tate run. And then, you know, that will force Arizona to adjust their scheme and their game plan if teams aren't doing that anymore.
And they play USC this weekend, and much like Arizona, USC is inexperienced, including the quarterback position. JT Daniels is a true freshman. But you got to think back at that USC game. The Trojans actually looked pretty good in that second half against Washington State. And, I mean, how do you think that Arizona will pan out against USC? And what did Kevin Sumlin say today in his press conference about facing the Trojans?
Well, you know, he said what every single coach says about USC throughout the course of history. Very, very talented. That's kind of, you know, you can read into that any number of ways. I mean, obviously it's true. They are very talented. They're probably the most talented team in terms of, you know, recruiting rankings and so forth in the entire Pac-12. It's kind of code in a way for, you know, maybe they're not as well coached as they should be, and they're not getting the most out of that talent. But casting that aside, just looking at that team play versus looking at Arizona, I think it's a rough matchup for the Wildcats. I really do. I know that USC has struggled in the trenches on both sides of the ball a little bit, but they're still better along both lines than Arizona is. I have big concerns about how Arizona's defensive backs can match up against USC's receivers. You know, based on what I saw from warm-ups this past week, I don't think Jace Whitaker is going to be back for this game, and that could be a huge problem. When healthy, he is their best cornerback and one of their best tacklers at cornerback. And USC has guys who can run after the catch. They have big guys who can win one-on-one battles. Yeah, I just don't see how, you know, Arizona can just line up in man coverage and hope to beat USC. I think they're going to have to play a lot of zone. They're going to have to tackle really well, and they're going to have to hope to confuse that young quarterback, JT Daniels, who's kind of a gunslinger, you know. He is not afraid to chuck the ball down the field, and that can be a good thing for USC, and that can be a bad thing at times, too, because it could lead to turnovers.
Again, that is Michael Lev from the Arizona Daily Star. You can follow him on Twitter at Michael J. Lev, or you can catch all of his content about the Arizona Wildcats on the Wildcaster app. Michael, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you have a good rest of your Monday.
Thanks for having me, Justin.
Hey, take care.